Welcome to Zion Teacher Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an internationally known Bible teacher and prolific author of over 35 books, which have been translated into more than 15 languages. In his 50-year ministry, he has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, Bible schools, pastors' conferences, leadership seminars, television, and radio. Dr. Bailey is currently the president of Zion Fellowship International and senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Waverly, New York, on top of Glory Hill. He is also president of Zion Ministerial Institute and Zion University, which have over 30 affiliate Bible schools around the world. In today's edition of Zion Teacher Series, we will examine the book of Isaiah from Dr. Bailey's commentary on the subject, one of the most quoted books in the Old Testament, which is filled with dramatic prophecies in which God reveals His heart towards His chosen people. In addition, we will discover how a book written over 700 years before Christ gives vivid details of His birth, death, and resurrection. So many of the prophecies contained in this book have already come to pass, and even some have yet to be fulfilled. So join with me now as we study this beautiful book, the prophet Isaiah.
Welcome to our study on the book of Isaiah, such a beloved book, loved throughout all generations by God's people. And also, it was one of the four most quoted books by the Lord Jesus Christ during His earthly ministry. The others were Genesis, Deuteronomy, and the Psalms. Isaiah means Jehovah is salvation. And this book is a very remarkable book indeed. It deals with the salvation that God promised and gave to the world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah depicts the life of Christ in such detail that it reveals beyond any shadow of doubt that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. Now, Isaiah prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Roughly, he prophesied between the years 750 BC to about 690 BC. So he was prophesying some 700 years before the birth of Christ. Do you know that there is no other religion in the world that can say that their founder's birth, their founder's life, their founder's ministry, death, and certainly not their resurrection, was prophesied all those years beforehand. In fact, no other religion can claim that their founder's life was prophesied before he came. But with minutest detail, the prophet Isaiah can tell us about the virgin birth of Christ, His early years, His training, His ministry, and His death and His resurrection. But we will come to that later on. The point that I want to bring out is this: the most remarkable prophecies perhaps have ever been given are found in the book of Isaiah. And also that one is under no misapprehension about the authenticity of this book. You know, God performed an outstanding feat when just a few years ago a shepherd was walking along the shores of the Dead Sea, which separates Israel and the kingdom of Jordan, and into which the river Jordan flows in its southernmost extremity. And this shepherd was walking along the shores of the Dead Sea, and as shepherds do, you know, playing, taking a stone, throwing a stone, and he threw a stone, O Hazard, into a cave. And he heard a peculiar sound when that stone struck an object. He went to find out, you know, what was in that cave. And essentially, after having sold them to an archaeologist, they discovered that those scrolls were none other than the scrolls of the prophet Isaiah. the book of Isaiah. In fact, about 75% of the book of Isaiah was in those jars, scrolls in those jars. And also, without a shadow of doubt, they discovered that those scrolls had been written at least 100 years before the birth of Christ. And the remarkable thing is this, that those scrolls are identical, what we call the Authorized Version or the King James Version of the English Bible. And so there we have absolute authenticity of the prophecy of Isaiah having been written all those years ago, long before the birth of Christ. And so that copy that had been copied from the original scrolls was at least 100 years before Christ. And so we can look at the book of Isaiah with complete, if I could say this, confidence that we are looking at not only a historically written book, but a book that with great accuracy depicts the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also many of the historical events that happened after Isaiah had prophesied them. And some of them, of course, were the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem. Another was the restoration period. Another was the rebuilding of the temple. And another remarkable prophecy was this, that Isaiah, called by name one of the greatest rulers of all time, Cyrus, king of Persia, he called him by name. He even declared what his ministry and what his life would be, and that one of the important factors of the life of Cyrus that Isaiah named this man about 100 or so years before he was born, he declared that he would indeed defeat the Babylonians who would take Israel captive, and moreover, that he would give a commandment, an edict, that the temple of Jerusalem would be rebuilt. Now consider the remarkable facts that we have listed there. You know, at the time of Isaiah, Babylon was just a provincial city in the Assyrian Empire. And yet, Isaiah depicts its rise and its fall, its defeat by Cyrus, king of Persia, king of the Medes and Persia. And all these things Isaiah depicts. Not only that, he speaks of the millennial reign of Christ upon earth, the new heavens and the new earth. Oh, this is one of the most remarkable books ever written. And we are going to, by the grace of God, look at some of the wonderful truths that are in this book. Now, first of all, we're told, as I've already said, that Isaiah prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. He prophesied during those reigns, and these kings reigned themselves after Solomon, and the kingdom of Israel had been divided. The southern kingdom of Judah was now under the separate lineage of David, whilst the northern tribes, called the kingdom of the north, were now under the control of others who did not come from the lineage of David. In fact, the northern kingdom had fallen into such apostasy that very soon it would fall. And it fell during the time of Isaiah in about 722 BC. And that just left the southern kingdom of Judah, the faithful kingdom. Well, we say the faithful kingdom in comparison to the northern kingdom that had gone into such apostasy. But you know, regretfully, Jerusalem, the holy city, as we are going to look at these prophecies of Isaiah, and we are going to find that Jerusalem went into apostasy too, and because of it, many punishments upon that city ensued. Now, the importance of Jerusalem is simply this. Not only is it the holy city, not only is it the capital of Judah, not only is it the city of David, not only is it the city that contains Mount Zion, that holy mountain of God, but Jerusalem depicts the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Apostle Paul brings that out very clearly in the book of Galatians when he speaks of Jerusalem as being like the church of Jesus Christ. Now, we are going to see some remarkable prophecies concerning the state of Jerusalem at the time of the prophet Isaiah. And we're going to see with such sorrow and sadness of heart how the conditions in Jerusalem reflect almost the conditions in the church and the world today. First of all, God cries out in chapter 1. He said, I have brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. You know, you could never have such a perfect father, thank God. And yet he looks upon this nation that he had chosen for himself. You know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Then Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And here, these people God had chosen to be a holy nation, to be a nation that would reflect his glory and would reflect his laws. But they rebelled against him. And it's so much like the Western nations of our day. They had such great privilege. They had the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had the truth. And in their early, shall I say, years, they reflected truly the truth of the gospel. And in the Puritan age, and in the ages of Wesley and Luther, certainly in the days of that Reformation, they did reflect the laws of God, and they did walk uprightly, as did the United States of America when it was birthed, if I could say that. But now, this is the picture that God gives. He says in chapter 1 and verse 4, Ah, is a sinful nation. A people that are laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. And then he goes on to say, children that are corruptors. Isn't that a picture of the Western world today? As we look into the churches and we look into the schools, how children have corrupted their ways even at a very early age. They are the seed of evildoers. And as a pastor, it is so evident that the children reflect the laxity of home life. Life at home is filled with television and all that means. All the unholiness, all the wickedness that we see on secular TV. There are exceptions, of course. But basically, there's such immorality displayed by Hollywood. But now, we find, you see, that it's going down into the children. The children are corruptors. And as a pastor and responsible for schools in a number of countries, you know, we find that the children no longer respect authority. There's no respect for the parents and no respect for the teachers. And the result is they have corrupted their ways. And so often the bad eggs amongst the children corrupt the others. and bring them in to all kinds of wicked ways. And I think that's particularly true of the girls. There are no boundaries. You know, it used to be that one was very particular how one brought up girls. There were clear-cut boundaries for them. But today they have gone over those boundaries and become immoral. And the result is the human race is becoming more and more depraved. Well, you know, the Lord cries out in Isaiah, you know, concerning this situation in Jerusalem. And then, you know, that God of mercy cries out to them, come, let us reason together. You know, listen to me, the Lord says, and I will wash you from your sins and make you as white as wool. And there is the invitation he gives in chapter 1 of Isaiah. And then he goes on and he says, well, look, you know, if you will not, if you rebel against me, he said, I will bring devastation, I will bring judgment after judgment upon your land. And are we not seeing that today in so many countries, how God is bringing economic deprivation and how God is causing all kinds of ravages to come in the form of earthquakes, tornadoes, and the like. Tragedy after tragedy is sweeping through country after country because they do not keep the laws of God. But then Isaiah gives a picture of the church of the last day. The church has become corrupt too. The world has come into the church. Contemporary music has brought in all kinds of sensuality and all kinds of wickedness and evil ways. But God now speaks concerning the church of the last days. He depicts it as Jerusalem in the millennial period when Christ will reign. And here we have a beautiful picture of what the church in the last days will be. And it is in chapter 2 of Isaiah that we find this. And it is as though God will exhort the church in the last days. And he likens it unto Jerusalem, which is on a hill. And here he says in chapter 2 and verse 2, the people will say, oh, let us go to the hill of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. And one of the foremost, if I could say this, revelations concerning the church of the last day is broken down into two parts. Number one, Daniel speaks of the great power that will be manifested through the church. Healings, miracles, wonders. God is going to revive the church in the last days. And the miracles that were done, if I could say this, in the early church will be far surpassed by the great miracles of healing, visions, dreams, manifestations of the Lord through his people. But also, the prophet Daniel and also Isaiah speak of the thought of teaching. It says, those that understand amongst the people shall teach many. And so you have the thought here that all the laws have been of God have been cast away by the nations. Adultery, murder, even whatever, and homosexuality, all these things have sort of been legalized by the Western nations, which are an abomination to God. But God in the last days is going to cause his law to be exalted. His ways are going to be known, and his word is going to be declared. And so we have a picture in chapter 2 of people almost waking out of a stupor and realizing the terrible state the world is in. And to whom are they going to turn? Well, there's no other place that they can turn to but the church, which will be in revival in the last days. And God, as I said, will not only give wonderful miracles, but he will give teachers of righteousness. And that is going to be the wonderful thing in the last days, that God is going to make his law honorable. The Ten Commandments are going to be exalted. And also God is going to cause his word to go out from the church. And the church, the true church, shall speak with one voice and declare the word of God, which is the Bible. You know, no other book can claim what this book can claim. This book was written by God. Who but God can declare the things that are going to come to pass from the beginning? No, Isaiah does this. So it's clearly the whole Bible is written by God under inspiration of the Holy Spirit through men that he has chosen. Well, what are we going to see in the last days? We're going to see the Bible exalted. In fact, there'll be a battle between, I think, the two books, the Koran and the Bible. There's no comparison between them. But here we have the Bible, the authentic Word of God, its authenticity proven over and over and over again. And, oh, God is going to exalt his laws. And so, I want to bring this, chapter to a close by putting before you a challenge to be teachers of righteousness. And you say, well, you know, I'm not a teacher. I'm not a teacher in a secular school. I'm not even a teacher in a Christian school. And, you know, I'm not invited by the pastor to teach from the pulpit. No, but the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 5 and verses 12 to 14, when ye all ought to be teachers. Let us consider that point. Are you not a teacher? Yes, you are. Because whatever position you have, you are, in fact, teaching. You're either teaching by your life or by your lips. You know, if you're a father, if you're a mother, you are a teacher. You are teaching your children the way that they should live. And so, here we have the thought that God is going to raise up teachers of righteousness on every level. In the home, are you teaching your children the Word of God? Are you teaching them the elementary principles of the Word of God? Are you teaching them that which is right from that which is wrong? Are you teaching them the truth? Do you know that your heavenly position is dependent upon that? You know, on the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ made this statement. He said, and this is, I'm quoting from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19. He is saying this. He said, those that teach my law and practice it shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. But those that do not shall be called the least. And so, speaking of Christians, our level in the kingdom of heaven depends on how we teach. And so, coming back to chapter 2, we find this very clear-cut statement that God is going to lift up the church in these last days, and he is going to give to the world teachers of righteousness. And it's going to be so clear that the church indeed has the truth. And so people all around, as they did in the New Testament church, came to hear the teachers of righteousness. Crowds gathered to hear the apostles, you know, in the early church. And today, wherever we go, we see large crowds assembling in many countries, tens of thousands of people gathering to hear the Word of God. God is starting to move afresh, and he's lifting up his ministers. He's lifting up his ministers of righteousness and charging them to teach the people the ways of God, the ways of God. And The thought is this. You know, Daniel makes this point. He said, in the last days, knowledge shall increase. Knowledge shall increase. Well, that is true in the secular, isn't it? Knowledge has increased, which has released great power, which has created, in a certain sense, a different lifestyle. Look how we live. There's so much luxury because of the increase of knowledge. How it's possible to communicate across the world in just a few moments. You know, with email. Well, the Apostle Paul says, first the natural, and then the spiritual. Well, God's ways are going to be communicated throughout the world through teachers of righteousness. And I want to encourage you, look, knowledge shall increase, and God wants you to have an understanding of His Word and of His ways. And that is possible only by studying the Word of God. We've got books like the Book of Isaiah that would help you understand this wonderful book. And so, let me say this, you know, in closing here. Here God gives a terrible picture, you know, of the times of Isaiah, when the seed of the wicked ones was producing children, you know, who were indeed corrupting the ways of others. And so the schools and the young people in Isaiah's time were utterly corrupted, but God moved by His Spirit and changed them. Well, today we're seeing terrible corruption amongst the young ones, but we have hope. And that hope is this, that God is yet going to move again by His Spirit, and He's going to raise up His church to a place of prominence, and those that will hear will indeed be purged, as He says, from their iniquity and become holy and acceptable to the Lord. And so we're going to see in these last days God lifting up His church and manifesting His ways, and all who are righteous will be transformed, will be purified. We're going to see a great change in this world, and we want you to be a part of it and become yourself a teacher of righteousness, upholding God's ways and teaching your family what is right and what is wrong. And you might say, oh my God, look at my children. Well, teach them and they will change as you pray for them, and as you set an example yourself. God bless you.